Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing, everybody? Oh, man. How's everybody doing with the band? Making the band? As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning into my podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Really means a lot. So please tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy, tell a coworker, tell somebody, help me grow this thing in 2017. Please tell somebody. So we are back. And as usual, I will start off with my milestone. This is a big one. He's starting to sleep in his own bed. Yes, we made that I don't want to say fatal, but we made that terrible mistake of letting him sleep in our bed. And he's 4 and a half and he still won't leave our room. Get out. So we went and got him a bed. Actually, we got it off of Amazon. So I put together a little Spider-Man bed. He likes it. So he's starting to sleep in there for the majority of the night. If you guys listen to this and have any suggestions other than kicking him out every single time he walks in, please send me some tips. But that's huge. He's sleeping in his own room, and I'm so happy. I guess we can just jump right into what's been going on the last few days. Actually, you know what? Let me talk about this first, and then I'll get on. That's basically what I'm going to start doing. Talk about the things I've been doing, and then I'll hit the topics. What is today? Today is Monday. It's like 4:15 or something. But this past weekend, I had the privilege of performing at a benefit for the military. It's called Operation Restored Hope Foundation. And basically what they are trying to do is to raise money to help eradicate military veteran homelessness. And I had such a great time. It was in Alexandria, Virginia, at this really huge, I've never even seen a development this big, but it's a housing development. I think it's called like Kingstown or something like that, but it's huge. I was doing some looking on the internet. They have like almost 5,000 homes in it, but it's just a huge housing development out there. And we held the event in their clubhouse. And I didn't know what to expect. I get there and I'm like, hey, I'm one of the comics. You know, what should I do? Where should I go? They go, oh, yeah, this back there. Steve Coltrane is back there. And she points me to a room and I go in there and it's the kitchen. I'm like, all right, are they on some bullshit? I'm here to do jokes. I'm here to do comedy, not cook. This is the South. I didn't know if this was some backhanded thing where like, hey, man, not only are you going to tell jokes, but you're going to serve hors d'oeuvres to white people. So I was just like, ugh. But luckily none of that happened. It was, I just did what I was told I was going to do, and that was stand up. Had a great time, man. We had a few other comics on the bill. God damn it. Jeff Heisen, very funny dude. He was the host. Then Chris Lawrence, tall, skinny, white dude from the D.C. area. Very funny. And, of course, Steve Coltrane, he went and did some time on the show as well. He kind of put all the comedy portion together and booked it. And he went up. And it was one of those shows, man, where it was a hot crowd and the momentum just kept building up after each act. So, you know, Heisen goes up. He does a great job. Lawrence goes up. He brings it up even higher. Coltrane goes up. He kills. And I go up. And they were basically just, you know, they were just ready. I could have almost said about just anything. And I had probably one of the best sets I've had in a very, very long time. And it was fun. I did about 30 minutes. It was just a great, great night, man. There was this guy. His name was Troy. He was in the front seat. White dude. Older guy. Good looking guy. Had a high and tight. And then throughout like fucking with him during my set, I found out he was a Marine. Then he had a Corvette. Then he was a pilot. And it was just like, if somehow, like, if Top Gun continued, or they did like a where is he now? And I understand in Top Gun, Tom Cruise was in the Navy, but I'm just saying if somehow it's just like after the movie, him and the girl get married, she's like, I don't want you flying fighter jets anymore. I want you to fly something safer and switch over to the Marines or some shit like that. This was Tom Cruise the latter years, you know, a little bit more weight on him, and just like living in the suburbs and flying these big dumb planes and shit. But I had a lot of fun, man. And I found out afterwards that at the show the year before, he got made fun of. And I would say most of the people that were there this year were there last year. And so it was like this callback from a year ago. And it was a lot of fun, man. He was a great sport about the whole thing. They raised a ton of money. And it felt good to give back. So I think I posted some pictures of the stuff on my Facebook page. So if we are Facebook friends, please go to my page and check that out. I think I even put some on Instagram as well. But if you want to find out more about that cause, just go ahead and look it up. And if you want to donate or whatever, just, you know, go to the website and follow the instructions. But I had such a good time. And you never know what these benefit shows, you know, like when I got the email saying that there was no content restrictions, I felt a little bit more at ease about it. And it was a lot of fun. So shout out to Steve Coltrane and Jeff Heisen and Chris Lawrence for putting me on the show, and all the people who ran the event. Thank you so much for having me, and I would love to come back. And people, this is something I think you could definitely see being a national thing in like 5 to 10 years. And I would love to do that. You know, if not every year, every other year. And I hope to see that thing grow and they can move it to a theater or something like that. Because it's a great cause, man. And the crowd was just awesome. And it was a lot of fun. Probably one of the best shows I've been on in a long time. So shout out to those guys. Oh, man, that was fun. And then I go to the Big Hunt later that night. So I drive from Alexandria up into D.C. proper and do a show there at the Big Hunt at 11:30. Kind of rowdy, with a lot of fun, man. And I love that room. If you're ever in D.C. in the DuPont Circle area, please check out the Big Hunt, man. It's such a fun room. It's like subterranean. It's dark. They got the pipes running through the ceiling. It's low. They got all these weird devil pictures and weird lighting and candles. It's just a dope room. I think I'll post at least one or two pictures from the Big Hunt every time I go to D.C. So if you're ever there, man, check it out. So shout out to Sean Joyce and the Big Hunt for having me. I try to go there at least 2-3 times a month, man. So it's such a fun room. And you always get these cool drop-ins, people who are headlining the DC Improv, or like Louis C.K. did a couple of weeks ago, you know, because there's so many different venues to perform at. You get these celebrity comics doing like kind of an odd room, and they know about the room, so they'll stop in and do a spot there, and it's a lot of fun. So if you're ever in D.C., man, please check out the Big Hunt. It's such a fun room. Trying to think, did I do anything else? Oh, yeah, it was my anniversary. Duh. Oh, shout out to my wife, because I was really, like, thinking about my... Sounds bad. I was thinking about my anniversary this year. I was like, I got to get something good because I really don't give great gifts for our anniversary. But I wanted to make this year special. And I really wasn't thinking about the date. I was thinking about what I wanted to get her. And the show that I just mentioned, the benefit show, was originally supposed to be January 20th. And then they rescheduled it to the 27th. And it literally didn't dawn on me till the day before. Like, oh, shit, that's the same day as my anniversary. But luckily, man, my wife is so cool. She was like, no, you had this book for a while. Don't try to back out. Because I was going to try to find a replacement for myself. But she told me to go ahead and just do the show. So shout out to her. Shout out to her. Sorry. Her being so understanding. So I got her a really nice gift. I got her a nice pearl necklace. So I hope she liked it. It seems like she did. And then Saturday night, we ended up going out to dinner to Red Lobster, which is not great, by the way. Hopefully you guys don't hear my air conditioner blowing in the background. Hopefully it's not annoying. But the dinner was fine. It's just, I guess as a kid, Red Lobster is just like, yeah, we're going to Red Lobster. But when you're paying for it, you're like, we're going to Red Lobster? Okay, that's $70 of something I could have made myself. But it's about going out, because I love going out to eat with my wife and son. It's just something about sitting in a nice booth. It's kind of dark and talking. And I put my phone away. I had it in my jacket pocket, and you just sit and talk and yell at him for trying to play underneath the table. So it's a lot of fun. So shout out to my wife. Happy anniversary. I love you. And to many more. All right. That's enough being sentimental. So everyone is aware of this executive order that our new president, Donald J. Trump, just imposed, basically of, was it 7 countries or so that people are being temporarily banned from coming into the United States from? And I get it, man. I'm all for, you know, keeping fellow countrymen safe, men and women. I don't want to leave anybody out. But, I mean, this is, it's honestly, it's kind of embarrassing as an American, man. I find it embarrassing that it's gotten to this point. You know, that's not what we stand for. And I'm all for people coming into our country properly. I'm all for vetting people. I definitely do not want terrorists in our country. I just farted. That's how I feel about terrorists. It makes me fart. But what I find very strange is the 3 countries that aren't on the list actually have had terrorists that have killed Americans, and all the other countries that are on this list have had absolutely none. And these other 3 countries that are not on the list actually also have Trump hotels in them, which I find also very, very strange. And he's full of shit, man. What bothers me about this is I feel like people want to feel good now. You know, it feels good to say, keep the Muslims out. We don't want them in our country. Fuck them. They're horrible people. But I don't think people think about the long-term ramifications of how we treat people. Because who's to say in you know, 20, 50, 100 years from now, there may come a time in America where Americans need to flee this country for whatever reason. You know, some type of, I mean, I couldn't even imagine some type of extremist group takes power, or, you know, and they start going around killing people because they don't believe in Christianity or whatever crazy shit could happen at any given time. And people don't forget. Countries don't forget things. And it bothers me to think that there could come a time in this country where we need to flee. And people are like, you know what? We remember what you did back in 2017. We're good. We don't trust you. You know, we're going to do some extreme vetting, which is just basically ironically, a PC way to just say a racist. So I think people now, you can't even get mad if someone stereotypes you as a homophobe or as a racist. You kind of can't, especially if you're pro-ban. You just got to look at it a little bit differently now. Then someone's not stereotyping you. They're just being extreme vetters. Okay? They're just vetting you. You happen to look like somebody, or you've said something that, you know, someone else said in the past that came across as racist or homophobic, and now they just want to kind of put you in that category until they can prove otherwise. And I put this on Facebook. I find it sad. I don't think it's a lot of people, but there are people out there who are pro-ban, who are now looking for and unfortunately hoping for some type of terrorist attack or terrorist event to happen in this country just so they can say, see, I told you so. This is why this is good. And I had people go, why would somebody want there to be a terrorist attack? It's like, because to prove their point, people want to be right. There's people that look for tragedy just to go, see, I told you so. And then I had this happen, and I feel like you're going to see a lot more of this as well. Apparently, Obama in 2017 put a 6-month halt on Iraqi refugees. Did a little bit of research and found out, and Donald Trump was like, well, Obama did the same thing. And of course, you look at it and it's really not the same thing. He put a temporary halt on the number of visas. They weren't refugees, and it was for a specific threat, and that happened for 6 months. And now I see memes like, oh, where's the outrage when Obama did this in 2011? And what you're going to see, you're going to start seeing people who support Trump posting memes about, well, y'all didn't say this when Obama did it. And to me, this is their backhanded, sly way of saying Obama actually might have done some things that they liked, but they would never even admit it. It's like, where was the outrage when Obama did this Iraqi refugee ban back in 2011? It's just like, well, I didn't see you give him any praise for it. You tried to say that this dude did nothing when it came to terrorism. He just was basically welcoming all these terrorists into our country. Saw somebody else post another video of Bill Clinton, 1996, when he gave his immigration reform speech. Double standard. When Bill Clinton says it, it's okay. When Donald Trump says it, it's racist. So are you admitting that Bill Clinton did something you liked? Was he not as bad as you say he was? I mean, because throughout the entire, even this election, you heard about how terrible Bill Clinton was, but they'll turn around and try to say, hey, look, Bill Clinton said this. Obama did that. It's like, well, you said Obama was shitty. Now you want to say Obama did it? It's cool now? You know, it's hypocritical. It's so easy to call out hypocrites in the other group. But I think it's better when you can call out hypocrites in your own group. And I'm fairly liberal, and I'll admit it. Like, I have a lot of super liberal friends that, you know, they're all for women's rights and stuff. But as soon as some Republican woman says something, they want to call her a cunt and a whore and a bitch. But it's like, you get upset if a Republican man called a Democratic woman those same words. Same thing with this march. It's supposed to be for women's rights, but you didn't want to include women that were pro-choice. That's bullshit. That's a double standard. It's supposed to be for all women. Oh, and back to the ban. And I thought it and I saw memes about it. It's such a great point. Where are all the All Lives Matter people at right now? Since All Lives Matter, where are they? And I'm pretty sure they're going to say, where's Black Lives Matter? But then you just have to come back and go, hey, well, we already established that Black Lives Matter is racist and that's all they care about. They never claimed that All Lives Matter. It was you. And it just proves the point that All Lives Matter was basically just anti-black. That's all that shit was. It was anti-black lives. That's all it was. They never gave a shit about all lives. Because if they did, they would be the main ones trying to stop this travel ban. But no, they're completely fucking quiet. Just like I thought they would be. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. It's just sad to see that it's gotten to this point. And but I'm not all for the, you know, impeachment talk and all this kind of stuff. I just think that people are so upset right now. It's so fresh that people are overreacting. I guess Starbucks said they're going to hire like 10,000 refugees. Now you got Republican right side people. They're banning Starbucks. They don't want terrorists making their coffee. That's funny. You know, people are stupid for marching in the streets. They're dumb for exercising their rights. But somehow when they want to ban something or something like that, it's completely different. All I've heard from people on the right is about how they don't riot. They don't do that. They, you know, it's like you talk a good game, but it sounds like you're really not about that fucking life. You want to talk about the Constitution, but you're not really willing to do shit. You know, you get on Facebook and complain. You're right. You don't see Republicans doing anything because that's all you do is fucking talk shit. And you don't do anything. Whenever someone else exercises their rights, they're dumb. You don't get it. You don't understand. Why can't they just accept it? It's terrible. I don't know. I think in a weird way, we're kind of, because I've never seen anything like this in my life other than, you know, the camaraderie, the togetherness after 9/11. But I've never seen, I mean, even people who didn't like Obama didn't fucking come out like this. I mean, I'm all for a protest, but if I'm traveling in an airport, man, and you're there blocking my way to get either home or to my flight, I'm gonna be pretty pissed. I'm all for protests until you inconvenience me. Then I think your cause is dumb. I don't care. If you want to march on the street, get a goddamn permit. Don't block me from going to work. Or if I'm trying to go to, I don't give a shit if it's the Wendy's to get nuggets. You just in my way. But I think we'll get through, people. We'll get through. But it is funny to see white people like just lose their shit. So I do like watching this. This is pretty funny. But I think that might be it, folks. So make sure you follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, Negro Please Radio @gmail.com. There's a show. That's your show. Peace.